Father, we are grateful to you that you give us this chance to gather together in your name to worship you, to lift up our hearts and our minds, that we would do that for which we were created, that we would worship you, that our lives would be a demonstration of your power, of your glory, that they would be a reflection of who you are. And in particular to this wicked world, Lord, I pray that we would be, each one of us here, that our lives would be a strong testimony of your life-changing grace, that those who would behold our way of life, our chaste conduct, that they would be drawn to inquire what is the essence and manner of our living, that we might be able to ascribe all glory to you, Lord, and to lead others, that they might escape the burden of their sin. I pray as we come now to study your word together that you would grant the grace that our eyes which have been blinded by sin, our ears which have been deafened by sin, our hearts which have been hardened by sin might be open, that we might see and hear and understand what your Holy Spirit has to say to this church this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would ask if you would please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians as we pick up our study there. Having looked at Paul's exhortation to the conduct of husbands and wives, we come now to the apostle's exhortation and admonition to children. Beginning in chapter 6 and verse 1, the apostle writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." It has been demonstrated over and over again in history that there's a great difference and distinction that exists between the mercenary and the patriot. A mercenary is someone who fights for money. He is a soldier for hire, a hired gun, if you will. Whereas the patriot is one who fights for love, love of country, love of family, love of an idea. The difference being that one can be counted on to be loyal and uncompromising in moments of conflict and under the greatest duress. The other is one whose loyalty can be bought. And when that is the case, their loyalty is up for sale and goes to the highest bidder. And there are children whose obedience is demonstrated in this way. Their obedience is not out of love for family or for the cause of manifesting the glory of God in their lives, but rather it is up for sale, so to speak. It is one way for one moment and another way at another moment, depending on what they perceive to be to their greatest gain or loss at a particular moment. The obedience of this child is only outward and momentary. It is only because they think they have something to gain from the parent for the moment. But the moment they are away from the parent, they see nothing else to be gained by their obedience, so they consider their obedience to be up for sale, if you will. It can be bought by anything that they see as being more valuable for the moment. If they're with a group of their peers, then their loyalty can be purchased for nothing more than peer approval, which is scanty fare, I would say. But the teaching of the Bible here, the clear, easy to understand admonition of the apostle here speaking the word of God to us, is, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The great duty of children is to obey their parents. This includes an inward reverence as well as outward acts. And it applies to children at any and every age. This great exhortation, this great admonition, is followed up with "honor your father and your mother," which is the first commandment with a promise. That in every age, this has been attended by outward prosperity for those children who abided in this great maxim. That it may be well with you and that you would live long on the earth. Why? How is this? It's because God, our Heavenly Father, puts such great emphasis on it. It is in loving and honoring our parents that we demonstrate our love and honor to God. Just as you cannot say, I love God and hate your neighbor, how much more so can you say that I love God and I honor God if you do not love and honor and obey your parents? When we consider the two tablets of the law, we know that the first tablet are those commandments, those duties that we owe to God. While the second table, the second tablet, is that tablet of duties and commandments that we owe to our fellow man. And we know that in the first table of the law, it starts out with this: love the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. The second table of the law is, children, obey your parents. And as the first commandment sheds its light on the other four in that first table, so too the fifth commandment shines its light on the rest of the commandments in the second table. You'll never see someone who seeks to diligently and in sincerity honor and obey his parents that are likely going to be defective in the rest of the table, at least not in a gross and obvious way. And the converse is also true. You will never see someone who is demonstrating disregard and disobedience for his parents who is likely to be devout and careful in his adherence to the rest of the commandments in that second table. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Honor is higher than obedience even. It is to regard those to whom honor is due with deference, who by divine appointment are our superiors, and to whom our most respectful consideration is due. Though fathers and mothers are not on the exact same footing with each other in this life, yet they are to be considered equal objects of honor by their children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. And this commandment is given all the more strength because of the additional benefit to the child that their parents are Christians, for it says, in the Lord. When the child is a Christian but not the parent, there is a necessary modification that has to apply towards this, though the maxim still remains. And that is that an unbelieving parent may expect things of a child that the child knows to be forbidden by God, to be prohibited within the framework and the context of Holy Scripture, and those things must be disobeyed by a believing child because they have a higher calling. They must obey God first and foremost. But where the child has been provided Christian parents, which is the obvious context in this passage when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, the child has the additional weight added to it. That how much more should the child give his obedience to his parents and honor those who by God's sovereign providence has been gifted to them to be their special guards and guarantors and protectors and providers in this life. And it comes with this special privilege and mercy from God to give it all the more weight that you've been given believing parents. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And what is that promise? That it may go well with you and that you would live long on the earth. How many young people invite disaster and catastrophe into their own lives by rejecting this very commandment? They ruin their lives, and their lives are marked by misery every step of the way because they so carelessly and casually disrespect and dishonor their parents. God so highly values obedience to parents that he sees the child's obedience to parents as obedience to himself or disobedience. reverence and honor are to be paid by the child toward their parents, towards those who are in positions of authority over them. And we must always remember that those who are in positions of authority over us have been placed there by God's providence. They have been placed there at God's good pleasure for His glory and our good. And when this comes to unbelievers, we know it can only ever go so far. We don't give the unbelieving authority superior in our lives the same blind allegiance, the same kind of fealty and loyalty that we would to a believing superior. We don't ignore their wickedness and their failings. We understand that we have a higher calling. But where we can ever comply with their demands, we ought to, because of this commandment. We maintain a reasonable respect towards them, and we treat them with the dignity that their office deserves. But when this commandment comes to those whose parents, whose superiors are also Christians, how much more careful ought we to be to give them the most careful attention, giving heed to their words and their warnings and their admonitions and their counsels. And the holier, the more devout, the more pious are the parents or the superior, the more the inferior ought to honor them. Have the parents that God has provided you taken great pains to raise you to a sincere faith in Christ? Have they, by their careful example, modeled for you what it means to live life as a follower of Christ? Have they shown a love to God by obeying His commandments and following Him? Then how greatly should you value what God has given you? This is an incredible gift. He hasn't given it to all children. But if He has given it to you, how much more careful ought you to be in giving heed to their instruction, their counsel, their warnings? This world wants to bash Christian parents and say how they've ruined their children by twisting and perverting their minds, when in truth, those parents who are Christian parents who've instructed their children in the faith have kept their children from ruin. How often I read these stupid comments after some news article in which these wicked men will bash Christian parents and say, "See, this is what happens when Christian parents try to impose their religion, their standards of morality on someone else." When in truth, that's wicked and perverse. By the strength and resolve of those devout Christian parents, those children's minds have been kept from the bending and twisting and perverting influence of this world. This world is a perverse, wicked, twisted place. It's dark. How dare those wicked individuals make such baseless accusations? How fiendish those accusations are, when in truth, those children who have been raised in the best of ways by parents who have feared God become the best kind of adults, the kind that can be trusted, the kind that you enjoy being friends with. But in this verse, the apostle does not complicate his exhortation with exceptions, does he? It's simple. He simply lays down this succinct, easy-to-understand rule. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, and that you would live long on the earth. It is part of our nature to expect that in the end virtue wins and will be rewarded and vice loses and is punished. And when it comes to children, it is not within their capacity to see far into the future. To them, in order for rewards and punishments to be meaningful, they must have some manner of immediacy attached to them. And so it is no wonder that in writing this particular commandment to children, God and Paul see that there is a fulfillment now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and that you would live long on the earth. There is blessing attached. So children, obey your parents, for this is right. This is how children show love to their parents. They love them by obeying them. And not only are they to obey them, but it says here that you are to honor them. To honor means to fear them, to reverence them, to place more weight to their words than the words of any and all the rest of the world. Children, listen to what I am saying. These aren't my words. This isn't my wisdom. This is the Word of God and the wisdom of God. Heed your own parents, not somebody else's parents. God has gifted you with parents who have your best interest at heart more than anyone else in this world, no matter who they are. They know you better. They know your strengths. They know your weaknesses. They know your likes. They know your dislikes. They know what you're capable of. They know what you're incapable of. Their corrections are to be submitted to. Offenses against them are to be acknowledged. Children, when you disobey your parents, acknowledge your disobedience and go to them. Seek their mercy and forgiveness. Mother, father, I sinned against you. Please forgive me. Be reconciled to your parents. And if your parent is ill-tempered due to your neglect of your duty or your disobedience, your parents' tempers are to be patiently endured out of a realization that you've offended them and sinned against them. And in this exhortation to honor your father and your mother, your parents' shortcomings, their infirmities, are not to be exploited but covered by a sense of decency and dignity. They are to be honored in thought and word as well as deed and gesture. They are to be highly thought of, to be highly esteemed. They are to be spoken to and of honorably. You ought to act always towards them with the greatest veneration and behave towards them in a thoughtful and respectful manner. These are your parents. Do not let familiarity breed contempt. Your parents' opinions are to have the highest place in your thoughts, especially when you have been gifted with believing parents who make it their aim to live holy lives and are devoted to the Lord, because their thoughts will be filled with heavenly wisdom, and they are giving that wisdom to you. They're lighting your light to live by. They're not giving you the wisdom of this world, which the apostle says is foolishness. And when parents have grown old, they ought to be relieved by their children, assisted by their children out of a profound sense of appreciation and gratitude for the contribution and influence that the parents had in the child's life when they had so much need. When they were incapable of fending for themselves and delivering themselves out of necessity and weakness, the parents were there for them. And so too now, when the parent is advanced in age and unable to care for themselves in the same way they once were, children, out of the most profound sense of appreciation and gratitude, are to step in and assist their parents, helping them to be maintained in a comfortable way according to the necessity of their circumstances, remembering with what great care and sacrifice their parents demonstrated towards them. This is how the commandment develops as parents age. It moves from giving them your obedience to being ready to give them your aid. And that we ought not to be wicked like the scribes and the Pharisees, who, as they were given their livelihood from the offerings of the people of Israel, they would turn and say to their parents, this or that is Korban. It is dedicated as sacrifice to God. Sorry, I can't help you. What a dreadful and wicked thing that is. And Jesus uses that as an example to tell us how not to live. Jesus uses it as an example to say this is how not to honor your father and your mother. Rather, when you see your parents reduced in their outward means because of their age, it is the aim of this commandment to do everything in your means to see that your parents are adequately cared for as they did for you. Did they sacrifice for you when you were young? You ought to sacrifice for them when they are old. This is how it works. This is the great connection from cradle to grave, dear ones. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you would live long on the earth. Where obedience to parents is found, there is usually found along with it prosperity, temperance, self-control, industry, disciplined ways of life, and other habits, all which tend towards temporal and outward prosperity. These are the tickets. These are the things that serve a child in good stead. In Christian families, there is commonly found tremendous affection and unity and prayer and mutual helpfulness and reliance on God and trust in Christ and everything that serves to make life sweet and wholesome. The spirit of promise is realized in just these ways. And these mercies spread out and they are a blessing to the rest of our lives. That we experience tremendous mercy from God because of this. And we can know for certain, we can rest on this as a promise that always will be fulfilled, either literally or by the substitution of a higher blessing, which namely is a spiritual and eternal one, because the substance and essence of all the commandments are eternally in force. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and that you would live long on the earth. And then he goes on to say, and you fathers, mothers being implied by the context, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You know, there have been many foolish things said in regard to this passage when in reality, by its context, it's really quite easy to understand that what the apostle is referring to is that parents, by their careful training and nurturing of their children, would do everything in their power to see that the child is not exposed to the awful wrath of God by ignoring and resisting the teaching of their parents due to their father's severity or their mother's indulgence. But there would be a consistency and an aptness in the correction of parents towards their children. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord, instructing them in the knowledge of divine things, setting yourselves as good examples, as the best examples. Remember, your life always is a testimony to what you believe. How are you living? Fathers and mothers, take care to prevent your children falling into bad company. For bad company corrupts good morals. Pray with your children. Pray for your children. Bring them always into the house of God and under all the means of grace available. Attend to public worship. All of these things together which serve to add up to divine blessing and are useful to them. We see this in the blessing that God placed on Abraham's life, that he made him the father of many nations. And so we see it as most worthy of our imitation. And parents, fathers, and mothers, remember that great exhortation in the Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. The Apostle Paul abbreviates this commandment in Colossians and says, Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Steadiness and consistency are the keys to this injunction. Fathers and mothers, as you discipline your children, it must be done with consistency. That is key. Not disciplining them for a thing one time and then disciplining them another is inconsistent, and it serves to confuse the child. It serves to provoke them to wrath. Our disciplining of our children is to be done fairly, according to the crime, and not according to how you perceive their disobedience to be an inconvenience or an embarrassment to yourself. Never discipline your children out of embarrassment. If you have allowed embarrassment to get in the way, wait. Because that passion will ruin your ability to communicate and connect with the child in the act of discipline. Don't ignore it. Don't put it off forever. But get control of your passions. If you have allowed them to get away with a certain behavior in one setting, do not discipline them for it in another setting. Become consistent in your discipline. Consistency is key. How does God deal with us? Does He ever overlook our sins? That was rhetorical. And so we must be consistent. Teach them to be always obedient to you when you are in private as well as when you're in public. Because if you teach them to be obedient to you when you're in private, a withering look will be all that's necessary in public to get them to stop misbehaving in public. And I've said this over and over again. I think it bears repeating as many times as we have opportunity, and that is that affection must be copiously given to our children. All of the rigorous care and training in the world will only prove to have the opposite effect, that which you're aiming at, if it's not undergirded by copious amounts of affection. And this is true in every area of life, is it not? That those who report to you, those who are your inferiors, they will always listen much more carefully and heed your instructions and be more respectful to you if they are convinced of your dedication and your commitment to them. Think no further than this. How does God deal with us? What did He show us first? Did He not show us His love? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it is in this thought exactly, is it not, that makes us able to endure His chastening rod with thankful and humble hearts? And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful to You for Your Word, for these exhortations which are so clear and plain and easy to understand for us. I pray for the young people in our midst that they would be obedient children, that their parents would be consistent parents. Lord, we pray for Your grace, knowing that we are weak and feeble, faltering people. We need Your help. We need You, Lord, to so work and move in our hearts and our lives and our families that You would enable us to be able to do what otherwise we would be too weak and ineffective to accomplish. I pray, Father, for grace. Grace that would enable each one of us to do our respective duties in sincerity and faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.